I'm a graver believer in Jesus Christ. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Ron. Hey, everybody. Let's say a little prayer to get started here, if we could. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to teach your lessons and your wisdom, and just help me to stay out of the way and be a channel of what you would like to talk about and say to everybody. And we love you so much. We thank you for this program. We thank you for you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, Brian. You ask and there it is. Yeah. A little celebratory, some color. Okay. Where are we? What are we doing? Oh, geez. Tonight's lesson is lesson 12, Confess. And let's read the, if we've got the principle 4 and step 5, where confess is involved. Okay, principle 4, openly examine and confess my faults to God and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. Step 5, into God, ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. Key verse. I'd like to just sort of put it in perspective for newer people and whatnot. We do 1 week up here, a testimony. Somebody gives their story of success here in recovery. And then the other opposite week or alternating week, then we do a lesson. There's out of the step study that we do here that I highly recommend with these books. And there's 25 lessons in these books, of which tonight we're on lesson 12. And so through the year, we give each lesson and then start over again at the beginning of the year with that. And I want to just quickly read the steps, just so this is somewhat brief, that got us to step 5. The steps sort of break it down. There's the steps and the principles, and I kind of cut my teeth on the steps in AA. But I think it also kind of breaks things down. But here's the 4 steps that got us to where we are tonight. Number 1, we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So we look to God. We made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. So we're taking some actions here to kind of reposition ourselves and get with God. Number 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So now we're looking inward and seeing who we are, and maybe for the first time, what we are and who we are and what we're about. And that can be a little scary. And then tonight's lesson, number 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. So kind of all right with God, private, myself, private, another human being. Are you kidding me? So that's where it gets a little tough, but that's what we're here for, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And then it goes on from there. But that brings us up to where we are in the steps and the step study, and where this lesson is in the scheme of all that. So I'm going to start here. It's a little story that gets this lesson going. This is from John Baker, who started this whole thing, Celebrate Recovery at Saddleback Church down in California. Introduction. The following illustration is part of a message I heard at Willow Creek Church, and it is undoubtedly the best illustration that I have found to represent this principle. Does the name Jessica McClure trip any memory bells in your mind? She was the 18-month-old girl from Midland, Texas, who fell in a deep, abandoned well pipe several years ago. About 400 people took part in her 58-hour, which is about 2.5 days, rescue attempt, which was spurred on by her cries of anguish that could be clearly heard at ground level through the pipe. Now, I found it fascinating that at one point, a critical decision was made. The rescuers decided that the rescue would have two phases. Phase one was to simply get somebody down there next to her as soon as possible. Phase two was actually extracting her from the well. Phase one was driven by the knowledge that people tend to do and think strange things when they are trapped alone in a dark, scary place for long periods of time. They get disoriented and their fears get blown out of proportion. Their minds play tricks on them. Sometimes they start doing self-destructive things. Sometimes they just give up. So the rescue experts decided that they needed to get a person down there to be with her as soon as possible. Then they would turn their attention on how they were going to get her out of the well. I guess if you could figure out how to get a whole guy down there, you get a little girl out. The plan worked, and eventually Jessica was rescued. Now, how does the rescue of Jessica McClure relate to step five? When people like us get serious about recovery, about spiritual growth, usually when we've become completely sick and tired of being sick and tired, when we go on this 12-step spiritual adventure, when we take that first step, we admit that we have some problems that make our lives unmanageable. When we turn to God and say, God, I need help with those problems, then we might feel as though we are free-falling. In a sense, we are. We are out of control in a way. We can no longer live the way we are so used to living. The old ways just don't work anymore. To complicate matters, on the way down, you find that the problem that you admitted in step one is really being driven by a whole collection of character defects which have been growing 5 feet under the surface of your life. And you have to identify those defects. You have to inventory them, as we have talked about for the last 2 months in these lessons. You have to list them, admit them, own them. You need to take responsibility for your pride, anger, envy, lust, greed, gluttony, and sloth. You know, the big seven. Sounds like a movie. So during the last couple of months, if you worked step four honestly and thoroughly, you might be feeling as if you are trapped at the bottom of a deep, dark well. If you stay there long enough, you can become disoriented and wonder why you took this recovery journey to begin with. You might feel like you want to bail out at this point. You might start making statements like these. You know that I am royally messed up. The truth about me is that I'm totally messed up. No one's collection of sins and character defects is as bad as mine. If anyone ever found out the truth about me, they would never have anything to do with me for the rest of their life. Or, I added this, which just the opposite. You might say, I'm really not all that bad. Maybe I just overreacted on a bad bender. I don't like all the work and soul searching we have to do here. Some of you get to that point and you say, why don't I just bail out of this program? Why don't I just go back to projecting an image of adequacy to everybody and not deal with all this unsettling truth about myself? It's at this critical point in the process that we need to get another human being to come alongside of us in that well as soon as possible. You need to get someone next to you before you give up and get back into denial. In a way, the fifth step says that you can only grow so far alone. Then you reach the point that continued growth and healing are going to require assistance from someone else. We are right in that critical juncture. We are right at that critical juncture tonight. We are at the turning point. We're at the turning point. We are at the point where we are being asked to come clean by telling another human being the exact truth about who we really are. But how? And this, again, is where we see a lot of people leave. They leave at this point, or they leave earlier when beginning the inventory process, facing or writing out our fourth step and thoughts, our secrets, our flaws, writing out our innermost evil deeds, thoughts, secrets, our flaws, if you will. It's hard work. You're going to get out of this program what you put into it. But this story about little Jessica screams at me about getting a sponsor, an accountability partner, as soon as you can. Notice they got that guy down there in the pipe, ASAP. Sponsorship and partners can be crucial to our recovery. It was to mine. The earlier you get a sponsor, the better your odds of continued success. So, back to it. Work on that. I know it's hard for us to do that. Like me, I'm pretty antisocial when I got here, and so it's hard to. But that was so key to just get with one person, another person, and get out of myself and realize I wasn't so special and I wasn't so unique and God didn't just disfavor me and nobody else and all this other stuff. So there's just such power in relation around here that I've learned. So the earlier, that's a huge thing, and the earlier you can do that, don't wait till you're in that well, trapped and can't get out to then start, here they sent somebody in. But we can start that process, so by the time we fall in that well by doing some of these steps, which we can, we've got people around us to work with and talk to and help. They've been there. They've done that. They know the pitfalls. And it is easy to just say, you know what, I'm done. I did that a couple of times. Like, I can't do it. I had all that stuff nicely packed down there with a nice layer of mud over the top of it, and I just start digging it up and get frustrated and I'm out of here. So, okay, back to the but how. The first step is to confess my wrongs. Tonight's acrostic will show you just how to do that. So if you've got your flyer down there, we'll run through these and then we'll talk about each one individually, and they'll put the deal up there when we do that. But confess. The C is for confess your shortcomings, resentments, and sins. O, obey God's directions. N, no more guilt. F, face the truth. E, ease the pain. S, stop the blame. S, start accepting God. And those, that'll be written out as we go through each one. So, again, so you can catch up on getting that down in the blank. The C in confess is confess your shortcomings, resentments, and sins. God wants us to come clean and admit that wrong is wrong, that we're guilty as charged. We need to own up to the sins we discovered in our inventory. For the person who confesses, shame is over and realities have begun. Proverbs 28:13 tells us, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Confession is necessary for fellowship. Our sins have built a barrier between us and God. And I'd say us and God and everybody else. And that's why myself and a lot of the rest of us come here hermits or antisocial or I really don't care or all kinds of fun stuff. The O in confess stands for obey God's directions. Confession means that we agree with God regarding our sins. Confession restores our fellowship. And that's so awesome when that starts to happen and you feel that and you get out of all that other. And that's what we got to replace all that other with this, with God, with fellowship. Principle 4 sums up how to obey God's directions in confessing our sins. First, we confessed, admitted our faults to ourselves, then to God, and then to someone we trust. Assuredly as I am the living God, says the Lord, everyone will kneel before me and everyone will confess that I am God. Every one of us then will have to give an account of himself to God. Romans 14:11-12. And then the last verse here, then we do what we are instructed to do in James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So praying for each other involves at least two people, and confessing our sins to each other involves at least another person, and so you may be healed. I've seen the first part before, right? That so that you may be healed. So again, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's what I love about CR. That's what I love about CR. It gives us a plan, a process, the help, and the promotion to carry out this critical biblical commandment for our healing. James 5:16 makes this so simple and clear, but most of us just gloss over it and never make it happen. Why? I believe because there's no venue for it in most places. So you can read it in church or at home. You end it there. What do I do? And who am I going to trust out of my great friends and family that I'm going to go tell anything to? You know. So there's no venue for it. There's no help. There's no plan. There's no instruction book, and probably no one available we would trust to confess to. So I just added that CR and AA, that's the process is here, you know. So use it, be healed, do these things. We have the plan to actually take the action on some of these key verses that we kind of shine over because they're like impossible. Okay, the next letter is N. No more guilt. This principle can restore our confidence, our relationships, and allow us to move on from our rear-view mirror way of living that kept us looking back and second-guessing ourselves and others. In Romans 8:1, we are assured that there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. The verdict is in. All have sinned, yet God declares us not guilty. If we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins. Romans 3:23-24. So that's the con, the C-O-N of confess. The con is over. We have followed God's direction on how to confess our wrongs. First part of confess. After we fess up, we will have four positive changes in our lives. The first, which is the F, is that we will be able to face the truth. Face the truth, the letter F. It has been said that man occasionally stumbles over the truth, but most of the time he will pick himself up and continue on. Recovery doesn't work like that. Recovery requires honesty. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8:12. Have you ever noticed that a person who speaks the truth is always at ease? The next positive change that confession brings is to ease the pain. So the letter E in the acrostic is ease the pain. We are only as sick as our secrets. Most of us have probably heard that, but it's so true. We're carrying around this big secret we're never going to tell anybody. That's going to hinder us. That's just festering there. A healthy self-worth develops that is no longer based on the world's standards, but on the truth of Jesus Christ. Pain is inevitable for all of us, but misery is optional. Psalms 32:3-5 says, "There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, 'I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone.'" The first S in confess reminds us that we can now stop the blame. It has been said that people who can smile when something goes wrong probably just thought of somebody they could blame it on. Yes. Well, that was like me when I first believed in God. I thought, wow, I finally have somebody to blame it all on. Anyway. But the truth is, we cannot find peace and serenity if we continue to blame ourselves or others. Our secrets have isolated us from each other long enough. They have prevented intimacy in all of our important relationships. But it's true, the whole world pretty much plays the blame game. I mean, you just see it everywhere, you know, politics and from the top down to the bottom. It's and I've done it plenty myself. I can blame somebody else and I don't have to look, it's their fault, yada yada. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:3, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and fail to see the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me get the speck out of your eye,' when there is a plank in your own? Take the plank out of your own eye first, and then you can see clearly enough to remove your brother's speck of dust." Finally, the last S shows us that it is time to start accepting God's forgiveness. Huge. Once we accept God's forgiveness, we are able to look others in the eye. We see ourselves and our actions in a new light. We are ready to find the humility to exchange our shortcomings in Principle 5. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. 2 Corinthians 5:19. If you asked me to sum up the benefits of Principle 4 in one sentence, it would be this. In confession, we open our lives to the healing, reconciling, restoring, uplifting grace of Jesus Christ, who loves us in spite of ourselves. 1 John 1:9 reminds us that if we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins, because we can trust God to do what is right. He will cleanse us from all our wrongs we have done. So, wrap up. Maybe you came tonight a little fearful of having to think about sharing your inventory. I hope you've been encouraged, and I trust you have been able to see the benefits of this task before you. Next time, we will discuss the how-tos of finding a person with whom you can share your inventory. And I would think of hopefully key takeaways from this lesson tonight, and just in general. One, come to these meetings regularly and give this a chance. Don't quit before the miracle of recovery happens. Number two, get a sponsor, accountability partner, friend, peer, as soon as you can. We're all here to help. Use us and abuse us. People would say, call me, and I thought, well, I don't want to bother them, that kind of thing. And it's sort of like, no, bother them. They say call. They mean it. And if not, then move on. But use us. It's a lot of information to take in. Take it slow and easy. There's no rush. Just take what you can, and that's, we're here. The step studies are great. They last a little while. You get real close to your group of people in the step study. You go over these steps at a pace. They've got questions, and it kind of draws it out of you, and you talk about it with the other people in your step study. And to me, I just say, get into a step study when you can. It will help you accomplish all of the above and much, much more. To me, it's the meat and potatoes of CR. It just helps us with a lot of stuff we don't even know about. Let's close with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your promise that if we confess, you will hear us and cleanse us, easing our pain and guilt. Thank you that you always do what is right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to me. And, yeah.